welcome to Talking Big Data. I am David Pittman, the social media lead for IBM Big Data and Analytics. My guest today is Robert Morrison. Robert is an independent consultant who holds innovation leadership positions with Strive Advisors and the International Institute for Analytics. He has been leading breakthrough research at the intersection of business, technology, and human asset management for more than 20 years, and he has worked with over 300 major organizations. His work combines insight, innovation, and pragmatic attention to how organizations work and change. Bob has also co-authored two books, Analytics at Work, Smarter Decisions, Better Results, and Workforce Crisis, How to Beat the Coming Shortage of Skills and Talent. Those are very important topics, and we're going to dive into those in just a minute or two. Bob has also been published several times in the Harvard Business Review, and he has appeared on PBS Business-Oriented Programming. So, Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
One of your key areas, obviously, here is talent and research around talent of the analyst community in particular. Why is that so critical?
First off, the need for analytical talent is, of course, nothing new. Business processes like supply chain and transportation and financial or commodity trading, they've been driven by analytics for a long time. And we always need strong business analysis just to make everyday operational decisions and to figure out and implement business improvements. But that said, what I call professional analytics talent, these are the people who can work with complex data sets and they can build statistical models. That talent is more important today than ever before, simply because the business opportunities to capitalize on analytics are expanding so fast. Mm-hmm. Now, I won't go into the whole data explosion routine. You know, we've all heard it many times. Suffice to say that businesses today have lots more data, more forms of data, including text and from social media and click streams and so on, and also powerful new technologies for manipulating data. So the way I view it, old constraints are disappearing fast. A business can look at a problem or an opportunity or any domain like customers, look at it in greater detail and in greater breadth simultaneously. Breadth and depth as never before. So, for example, companies are looking at more customers in more detail and discovering more precise ways to sell to and serve them. So I think these are really exciting times, but unfortunately, there's a shortage of the analytics professionals the business has made.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about what these people are doing now. So what is their function, and is that changing?
I found it best to think in terms of the function, not so much of individual analysts as of analyst teams. And that's because I found it rare to get all of the capabilities and experience a business needs in one individual. Even if that individual dubs him or herself a data scientist, which is, of course, the sexy title to have these days. Mm-hmm. Our research has found that strong analytics teams combine people with four different orientations or skill sets. One is working with the data. The second is building and maintaining the models. Third is building the surrounding applications and visualizations of the data. And the fourth is communicating with the business to ask questions and find opportunities. And as people like to say these days, tell a business story with the data. Now, those aren't, of course, rigid specialties, and versatile people have overlapping skills, but you should really make sure that your teams cover all four of those bases. And I should add that the common threads, the common traits across all four aren't really technical. The most important are curiosity and inventiveness. Hmm. Now, how's all that changing? Well, of course, it's changing with new data types, working with text, working with clickstream and social media data. It's changing with the new technological tools, Hadoop and MapReduce and Pig and Python. I love these names. the various programming tools. And they're also changing on the business communication side with the new emphasis, expanded emphasis on predictive analytics in businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were talking there about some technology, and then you were talking about some of the business side of things. So are there characteristics or skills that are different depending on whether someone is classified as a technical analyst versus a business analyst?
Well, the professional analysts, you know, they're the ones who've got to work with large and messy data sets and build and maintain complex models and applications. But, you know, I mentioned curiosity. You also want their curiosity to extend to how the business operates and uses its analytics. On the more traditional business analyst side, we've had people with the title business analyst for a long time. They're the types of people who might be on Six Sigma or other business improvement teams. And these people in their work actually follow a process similar to what the professional analysts do. You know, you study a problem, you gather some new information, you find some root causes or patterns, and then you experiment or prototype new ways of doing things, and you figure out what works best. And these people may even use analytical and visual tools. They just don't use the heavy-duty ones that the professional modelers use. And in this case, you certainly want their curiosity to extend to the technology, and you want them to be able to work effectively with the professionals. By the way, in the book, we refer to these people as semi-professionals. So I guess I'm saying that you want some crossover curiosity and skills on both sides, the professional analyst and the kind of semi-professional business analyst.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, curiosity on either side.
Exactly.
Great. You were talking a few minutes ago about the skills gap. There's been a lot of talk all over the place about there being a major shortfall of analyst know-how on both the technical and the business side. In your book, Analytics at Work, you recommend some ways to close the skills gap. So would you care to share those with our audience?
Sure. The study that I like to cite is a McKinsey study from a couple of years ago now. That predicted a shortfall, this is in the U.S., of around 150,000 of these professional analysts.
Wow.
And a shortfall of 1.5 million, 10 times as many, business people who are ready and able to use the available analytics. And that study was specifically in the big data domain. My sense is with the reach of big data and analytics spreading so fast, those numbers are probably low.
Yeah.
So there is a big skills gap. And we recommend that the foundation step for addressing it is to recognize that you need to increase skills and supply in three basic categories. The first is, of course, the professional analysts. They're in short supply. You know, there are more and more graduate programs, but we're not cranking these people out fast enough. So for the professional analysts, I say you've got to hire what you can, and then fill the gaps by renting what you must. And, of course, you can rent the skill set from vendors and services firms. Companies can also connect with that growing number of university programs that are in analytics and related fields, because the academics are always happy to have some real-world business problems to work on, so you can get smart graduate students doing some of your work for you. And, of course, the institutions also serve as pipelines for new hires. So, hire, rent, connect with the academics. And the fourth means of increasing your supply of professional analysts is, of course, to develop people. And some of the semi-pros who have really strong quantitative orientation may be good candidates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the second category is those semi-professionals. And I tell people, if you look around your business organization, you probably have more of them than you realize. They're serving on Lean and Six Sigma teams. They're working in roles of internal consultant or troubleshooter. They may have analyst in their title. We recommend inventorying and networking together these human assets and give them some analytical tools and training. Most importantly, position them so they can work on a regular basis with the professionals on one hand and, more importantly, with their business colleagues. And that's the third category, those business colleagues. The business professionals who are going to use the analytical outputs in their everyday work and decisions. These people have got to learn to trust and use analytics, and that happens perhaps through a bit of education so that analytics don't seem like a black box. But more importantly, just by having the semi-pros and sometimes the pros working directly with the business people. So that means your pros and semi-pros have got to spend plenty of time in the field, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, the business professionals will be motivated to use analytics if the performance measurement and management system set that expectation, and if the cultural norm in the organization is to use your data and try to manage by fact. You know, a lot of discussion these days is about hiring and retaining professional analysts, how hard it is to keep them on board, keep them happy with really exciting projects. But in fact, you can get a lot of leverage from the semi-pros, and you really can't succeed with analytics unless you really grow the population of analytically capable business people. That's really the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we need to look around within our organization, see the people who may not be in those roles, but they have some of the skill sets and they've got a propensity to learn and interest to learn, and then just to team them up, I think is what you're saying. Yeah,
exactly. They're probably playing part of the role.
Uh-huh. Well, what happens if an organization doesn't move quickly enough in closing this gap? What are some of the impacts to them?
The organization simply forfeits opportunities to improve through analytics. Improve both within its processes and decisions, and also improve in how it connects and collaborates with customers and business partners. So there's an everyday reason. But lack of skills also precludes the option to compete on analytics. You know, there are companies in every industry, not just financial services and transportation logistics, but hospitality, even healthcare these days. Companies whose competitive differentiation and advantage are based on their analytical capabilities. They use analytics to understand and serve their customers in ways that other companies can't. So someone in your industry is trying to compete on analytics, and that company may suddenly raise the performance bar. And at that point, it can be very difficult to catch up or even to reverse engineer and understand what the competitor is doing unless your organization has strong analytics capability. But I recommend don't wait for the competition to lead the way. Analytical companies and their leaders are always seeking new opportunities. They're always pressing forward and deploying new analytics.
Study after study indicate that the organizations that drive their business through analytics and predictive analytics in particular are the ones who come out on top.
Exactly. Both operationally, financially, there's more and more evidence in that regard, and in the eyes and loyalty of their customers.
Mm-hmm.